We have him back, and he's on a landline. JaVale McGee, we now officially welcome you to town. How you doing, man? Thank you for coming
on. Appreciate it, man. You guys got me on a landline, something I haven't been on in 10 years.
Yeah, what's a landline? I think I got rid of mine about 15 years ago.
What is that?
It's plugged into the wall. What does it do?
You got call waiting on that landline?
Right. I don't even understand this technology.
When was the last time you heard a busy signal?
Exactly. Wow.
Well, hey, thank you for your patience, man. We really appreciate it.
I wanted to just start off with the experience in Tokyo, winning it with Book. The interview you did with your mom was sensational on TV. We all watched that.
Yeah.
But what was it like to bring home the gold?
For me, of course, it was definitely a special place just being in a family that my mother won one in 84, 37 years ago, which is a crazy concept. So just being able to conquer that feat and be the first mother-son to be able to get gold medals was awesome. But just alone, just going to the Olympics, being with those guys, obviously being with Book, my future teammate, was just a great experience just because obviously I was around all winners and great players, so it was definitely an amazing experience.
So take me back to those few weeks you were back there. At what point when you were in Tokyo did you know for sure that Devin Booker was going to be a future teammate of yours? When did that happen over the course of that experience for you in Tokyo?
I didn't know until Devin was already there when I found out. And I think, like, I came out, I had talked to my agent and everything had went through. And then, but it was like, I was in Tokyo, so you know the time difference is totally different, like, literally day and night. So it was like 7, 8 in the morning, I'm going for breakfast, and I go to Devin. I'm like, oh, what's up, teammate? He's like, all right, I guess we're in the Olympics together. He didn't really get it at first. And then I think he looked at his phone and was like, oh, I get it now. What's going on? So, yeah.
So how did that change the dynamic, if at all, between the two of you? What sort of relationship have you had prior? And how did that change once the light went on and he realized you guys were Phoenix Suns teammates? Did it change anything for you guys at all?
No, it didn't really change anything. Me and Devin had a pretty good relationship. Nothing too crazy of more than just knowing each other in the league and seeing each other around in gyms and things like that. But we definitely had a good relationship. But it definitely, once we found that out, it was a whole different mindset of, okay, we're going to make something happen this year, and we're going to be teammates and collaborate on possibly winning an NBA championship.
All right, two-part question here, so follow along with me. Did you watch every NBA Finals game between Milwaukee and Phoenix?
Not everyone, but most of them.
Okay.
I was actually at the game, too, in Phoenix.
Oh, okay. All right. Just on a whim, yeah. You were here?
Yeah, I literally just wanted to go, you know.
Okay.
I tend to, when I'm not in the finals, which has been rare the past 4 years.
That's true.
I just wanted to experience as a fan, so I got to do that, and the crowd was truly amazing. And I got to experience as a fan, I don't want to say post-COVID because COVID's still going on, but the arena was full, so that was just truly amazing.
I feel bad for the guy that had to sit behind you, but okay. So now I want to ask you this. This is my question. When you're watching these games, did you put yourself with the Suns and feel like, I can help? If I was on this team, I would be able to help defensively. I would be able to limit some of what Giannis could do. Did you feel like that watching the games?
Of course, I was watching, following that. I was definitely looking at, okay, they got this. They got DeAndre on what you call it, but DeAndre's a young guy. You get what I'm saying? So he hasn't had that experience, especially against a player like Giannis, 7 games in a row. But obviously the former MVP, a lot of people can't stop Giannis. But I definitely felt like that backup center position could have been a lot stronger, to where at least when DeAndre got into foul trouble, there was another big body in there to contest the rim and protect it. So I definitely was watching the games and was looking at the way Chris Paul was threading the needle and getting in there and just feeding the big man. And I was like, yeah, there's a lot of opportunity for me on this team, especially with a basketball mind like Chris Paul as the head size of the snake.
JaVale McGee joining us here on a very clear-sounding landline, I might add, here on the Burns and Gambo Show, 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. I want to ask you about Chris Paul, because in the days after you signing on our show, we talked about it a little bit. There was a lot made of a conversation between the two of you after, I believe, what it was game two of the Suns-Nuggets series. Take me back to that conversation, and how influential was that conversation on your decision to come to the Phoenix Suns, JaVale?
I don't technically think it was influential. The conversation was influential, but the conversation was more of Chris seeing the fact that I was out there, obviously in garbage time, but as a vet, I've always felt like once you cross those lines, you got to give it 100%. And I don't know if it's a selfish reason. I also look at things like people don't know what time you got in the game. They just look that you got in the game. So on the stat sheet, I don't never want to have a zero. I don't care if I play 1 minute or 4 minutes. I always want to try to get it up and make sure I get a nice little rhythm, just because I'm a basketball player and I'm here to play basketball. So I'm not going to go out there, okay, it's 3 minutes. If it's 2 minutes left, I'm a vet. I'm not going out there. But if it's 4 or 5 minutes left, I'm going to get it off. I'm going to definitely get some good time to definitely get some buckets, get some conditioning in, and really work hard and show everybody what you have. And I guess that was definitely a eye-opener for some people, especially the Suns.
Was the combination of Monty Williams as coach and James Jones as a general manager attractive to you?
For sure. It's sort of weird to me, but for some reason, when it comes to black coaches and GMs, I don't know, I connect with them at a higher level, or I just feel like we have this connection to where the honesty is there, the conversation is there, the openness is there, to where you have that relationship with your coach where they keep it real with you, you keep it real with them, and it's 100% clarity and what your role is, what needs to be done. And I've always had that with black coaches, and I don't know why. It's just, and it's also amazing how many black coaches signed in the league this year, so that was also great. So I love it.
Yeah, and James is not a guy to promise anything. He doesn't promise minutes. He just promises you, if you compete and you beat somebody out, you'll play. But you've got to earn your time on this team.
For sure.
So I imagine there were no guarantees on how many minutes you were going to play when you signed here.
No, not necessarily any guarantees, but definitely a spot where you're like, okay, I'm a vet, I understand what's going on, and I'm definitely going to make my impact on the floor to where there's no choice but to play me in those minutes.
One of the things that I think I respect most about your game is just, man, you try to block everything. You don't even care if you get dunked on. Like, you try everything, and that's, you know, having a shot blocker is just so important in this day and age. You get the shot blocked, you get going on a fast break, but you don't shy away from everything. You literally try to block everything you can.
For sure. For sure. Just because on a momentum stage, I've always felt like a dunk is just the most momentum you can have in a game. If you get somebody dunks the ball, like, that just turns up the crowd. It just turns up the offensive team to even go harder. They're like, okay, that's what time we on. But at the same time, if someone going up for a strong dunk, full force, and then someone comes and block it, that defensive energy force can change the whole game also. So my concept has always been, I don't care who's going to dunk or what's happening, I'm going to try to contest this dunk. It, obviously, if it's they're already up there, I can time it to where I'm like, okay, there's no way I can get that. But there's some that other people watch, and they're like, oh, there's no way he's going to get that. And me personally, I know my skill set and what I can do, and I know I'm going to go get that, or at least attempt to get it to where I alter the shot. They might still make it, but I'm going to alter the shot.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the things I respect. You go for everything. You've been on championship teams, 3-time NBA champion. You've won with Golden State. You've won with the Lakers. When you see this Phoenix team, I would imagine you see a championship caliber team. Any similarities between the Suns and the teams that you played on that won at all?
I don't think there's any similarities, to tell the truth. I feel, obviously, just from looking last year, they made it to the finals, so obviously they can do it. And I feel like that piece of confidence in all of these young guys is going to grow and grow and grow, because most of the guys are extremely young. So you're like, oh, wow, they're making it to the finals at this young age. They're getting it at this young age. And I was talking to Chris, and he was saying how much of a team, how much the team works. And that's the main thing I've always seen in these championship teams is who's willing to work, who's willing to be in the gym before, who's willing to be in the gym after and really lock in. And also, as a team, stay together, do things together, go to dinner together, go places together, and just make sure that during the season, at least, you're locked in all on one page.
All right, JaVale, it was a real pleasure having you on the show. Thanks for making the extra effort to find that landline. Sorry we
you
had
can
to
come on anytime.
Sorry for making you, you know, be on with like an antique with us in that landline right there, right?
Yes. Find a rotary dial phone.
Man. Hey, as long as nobody made an emergency break, I think you're good.
Yeah.
Man.
Thanks, JaVale. Welcome to town. Welcome to the Suns. We look forward to talking to you in the very near future, okay?
For sure. Thank you. Have a good one.